Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the program live and underway here on the Big X in our Jeffersonville studios, and glad to have you along for the ride. Just a reminder that if you can't join us weekdays at 11 a.m. for the live radio program, we're also available as a podcast. I know many of you take advantage of that means of listening as well. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're available on SoundCloud. And to be quite honest, we're available on most platforms wherever you may listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. But glad to have you with us today. Plenty to get to on this Friday. Big sports weekend, both locally, college, and professional coming up. And no shortness of topics to bring up and to talk about here as we close out the week on this Friday program. Last night, we had the football pairings from Indianapolis from 6 to 8. And then I was in studio last night from 8 to 9 for a special tournament pairing show where we had on David Pappenhaus from Silver Creek. We had on James Bragg from Floyd Central, Steve Cooley, the coach at New Albany, also Josh Cook, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We went through all the pairings, broke down the sectionals, got the coaches' thoughts on what they thought of the draw and the remainder of the season. 2 weeks of regular season play, including tonight's game, still on tap to close out the regular season before we get into postseason football. And if you missed that show, it also is available on podcast. You'll find that on the same channel that you locate this daily show as well. But the pairings are out, some interesting storylines there to follow. And, of course, we've got some interesting games tonight as well in high school football and all sorts of things to get to. Let's jump right to it. The show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. In our headlines today, an update on Aminu Muhammad. He's a big 6'4" forward prospect in the 2021 class from Washington, D.C., plays at Greenwood Laboratory School. Indiana with a virtual meeting with him. It sounds like that recruitment is continuing in a strong way. We'll talk about that. More on IU and Providence, the Hoosiers' opening game of the Maui Invitational. We'll catch up on that here in just a moment. A couple other interesting headlines today that I want to bring up is Kansas coach Les Miles has coronavirus, but still plans to effectively coach the team from a virtual standpoint, which is very interesting. And also some not good news for Greg Marshall, the longtime coach at Wichita State. I've always admired him as a college basketball coach. I think his name maybe somewhat came up. Maybe it was more so by certain fans pushing him to be the Indiana coach when that position came open a number of years ago. But not good news coming out about him recently. We'll cover that in our headlines. And, of course, we'll recap the pairings from last night, and we'll get you set for week 8 of high school football tonight, all in our Zaxby's headlines in this first segment. Later in the show, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana will join. We'll talk the latest in IU basketball and IU football as well. And we'll close today with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle and I always talk high school sports. We'll talk about the pairings coming out last night. We'll talk some basketball as well when Kyle is with us later in the show today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take it to go, and curbside service. It's still available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, love to hear from you. Tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also send the show an email. The address is HoosierReport@gmail.com. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. Your question, your comment, whatever it is, may get used on the air in today's program, and I appreciate those of you that send us stuff on a pretty regular basis. And if you never have, I invite you to do so, and I'll try to do a better job of working your name in and where you're from and what your question is on the show today. All right, let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Aminu Muhammad, interesting prospect. He's clearly a good player, a talented player in the 2021 class. So he's a senior this high school basketball season. He plays at Greenwood Laboratory School, has all sorts of interest from Big Ten schools and other schools across the country. Indiana, according to a couple tweets I saw, but Indiana is expected to meet with him today virtually. Archie Miller, his staff, will talk with the five-star senior Muhammad. That's according to Stock Risers, one of the recruiting websites out there. So Indiana's recruitment of him seems to be solid as anyone else out there in this very odd time where you can't go visit the players at their school. You can't go to a open gym or an early practice at Greenwood Lab School. And, of course, Muhammad can't visit for Hoosier Hysteria, can't visit for games and things like that, at least for the foreseeable future. Indiana does seem to be mentioned with him and involved with him as any other school on his list. And he clearly is a big-time player available still in the 2021 class. And if you put the focus on Trey Kaufman in the state of Indiana, clearly he is who Indiana is focusing in on, and that is where a lot of time goes from Tom Ostrom and others to recruit him and to try to seal that deal. You've got Aminu Muhammad, the out-of-state player that's getting a lot of attention as well. You think about getting one of those players, that would be great for Indiana. You think about getting both of those players, that would almost be a dream situation in addition to Logan Duncombe, who's already committed in the Hoosiers 2021 class. So it's interesting to follow that recruitment, and virtual meetings are a big deal. And when it's Archie Miller involved in the meeting and other members of his coaching staff as well, it shows that this is a big opportunity that they've really prioritized Aminu Muhammad as a prospect that they really want in the 2021 class. Also, more on Providence. That's who Indiana will meet in the opening round, the quarterfinal matchup of the Maui Invitational. Providence will play Indiana. That's the November 30th game. I think we assume Indiana will have a game before that, maybe a one-off non-conference regular season game. But that will be the second game Indiana-Providence will be of the Maui Invitational on the opening day of play, November 30th, a 2:30 game. Of course, Davidson and Texas, Indiana will play the winner or loser of that game, depending on how the Hoosiers do against Providence in day two of the Maui Invitational. But I was reading a kind of a preview of the game, a real early look at what Providence is this year, and trying to find out more about them. And I didn't realize this, but Indiana and Providence, they've only played once in the history of those schools, and it was on a big stage. Indiana beat Providence 97-79 at the 1973 Final Four, and it was the third-place game. Remember the old, now-defunct third-place game where the two losers from the semifinal games would play before the national championship game? But Indiana, a winner in that contest for whatever it's worth. Indiana and Providence were also both at the Final Four again in 1987, of course, the year of Keith Smart's amazing shot and an Indiana national championship, but the Hoosiers and Friars never played as Providence was defeated by Syracuse in the semifinal round. So interesting stuff there. Archie Miller also is familiar with Providence as well. His Dayton team eliminated Providence from the NCAA tournament back in 2015. So just a little interesting stuff as we all are very excited about the season, kind of reaching to find out more about some of the opponents we know for Indiana at this point. I think we know a lot about the Big Ten. I think we know who's going to be at least an opportunity to win the conference and who some of the better players are on paper heading into this season. But now it's fun as we learn more about the non-conference schedule and the Maui Invitational bracket and some of the other games that should be announced soon. It's kind of fun to dive into those teams and the histories and things like that as well, especially in the offseason. A couple general headlines before we get to some high school stuff. Kansas football coach Les Miles tested positive for the coronavirus. It was reported yesterday. The interesting thing is that he's going to continue to handle head coaching responsibilities remotely. Fortunately for him and for the situation, the team has a bye week this week, which that aids in his ability to be able to be a virtual coach and run practices and things through technology and other forms of communication that way. But interesting to see that a head coach is going to stay as the head coach while he recovers, we hope, from the virus, and lead practices and staff meetings and meetings with players virtually, which I guess that's not terribly uncommon with where we're at, what's been going on the last 8 or 9 months during this pandemic. But a head coach keeping his duties and continuing to work from home, an interesting situation. I wonder, will we see a coach try to coach remotely? You would think if they can run practices remotely, they would be able possibly to call plays and things like that remotely as well. But hopefully we don't have to find that out with Miles and he's back for their game next week. You don't want to see any coach, anybody with the coronavirus. And, of course, you want to see him recover quickly. But I thought it was interesting. Lots of coaches this year being careful in their own regard so they can stay with their teams. And it's just a different time. There's no question about that. One other basketball note. Not good news coming out. Jeff Goodman of Stadium with this report. According to sources, Wichita State coach Greg Marshall punched a player, choked an assistant coach. This is in previous seasons. And there's been an investigation going on by Stadium, the outlet that Jeff Goodman, formerly of ESPN, now works for. And they've contacted a number of former players, a number of former staff members, and have been looking at some of the allegations that have been put forth about Marshall. Apparently the school has hired a firm to help him with this investigation. Marshall didn't return, obviously, any request to speak with him. The athletic department referred Stadium to the school's, quote, strategic communications unit. But Marshall's been a big name in college hoops. He's had other opportunities and has always seems to be a name on hot boards when bigger jobs come open. But he's chose to remain at Wichita State, and he's obviously had a ton of success with that program. But reports that he punched a player in the head during a practice in October 2015. He choked a former assistant coach during the 2016-17 season. He taunted a player who is of Native American descent with some basically racial and sensitive things that you just shouldn't say during the 18-19 season. Body shamed a player, grabbed a heavyset player, raised his shirt up, grabbed him in the stomach, made some other comments. That was, I believe, during the 15-16 season. Just a number of things coming out about him in this investigation by Jeff Goodman and Stadium. It's going to be interesting to see ultimately the outcome of things, what the school does as this stuff gets confirmed by them. But not a good look for Wichita State and for Greg Marshall, who otherwise had been pretty big names in college basketball. And if I remember correctly, when Wichita State played Kentucky, I think it was the Final Four or late in the NCAA tournament, a great game, a big game. Wasn't it Greg Marshall's wife that they pointed out that was just screaming? Was it at Coach Cal or at players? Something I remember with her where they had her on video. She was absolutely losing her mind, going nuts not far behind the bench or not far from the court at all. I don't remember those particulars, but she obviously was a wild fan, no question about it. Other headlines today in our Friday program. We can't forget about high school football tonight. I know there's been a lot of talk about the pairings for the tournament, which begins in a few weeks, but we've got a huge night of high school football locally, and it's highlighted by the Silver Creek-Brownstown game that will be played in Sellersburg tonight. Silver Creek, as good as they've been, a 7-0 start. They had a great season last year as well. Keep in mind, football hasn't been back at Silver Creek for that many seasons. I think this is season 10 or 11, and not all of those seasons have they been an official member of the IHSA, competed in the postseason. But they've made big strides. They've been very competitive, which really isn't that surprising when you look at all the sports and athletics at Silver Creek High School. The one thing they've never done, though, in football since the return is beat Brownstown, and they've also never won a Mid-Southern Conference championship. And tonight, they can do both when they host Brownstown in a 7 o'clock game. And that's one of our feature games tonight on the Big X. We'll have that. Also, the Floyd Central at Bedford North Lawrence game. We'll go back and forth between those contests. But a big one tonight for Silver Creek. I got a good feeling. I think Silver Creek can win, will win this game tonight, and that sets them up, obviously, with some good experience for what is really one of the best sectionals in the state, if not the best 4A sectional for sure in the state. They've essentially got three top 10-type teams in their sectional, and the Dragons will open up sectional play with East Central, who's been a power in football. They've won state championships. They're always good. Football is very, very meaningful at that school. It's over by Cincinnati, in that direction. But Silver Creek will open with them in a very tough matchup to start sectional play. Silver Creek did not get any favors in the draw, as if they were to beat East Central, they would likely take on Mooresville, who's another ranked team in 4A football. Also, taking a look at some of the other pairings in high school football that came out last night, 5A sectional, Jeff and Floyd Central will meet for the third time this season. Of course, they added each other in week one after they both were scheduled to play Louisville opponents. Those games had to be canceled. Louisville couldn't start their season at that point. In fact, it was unknown if they would have a season at that point. So they played then. They played the regular matchup in the regular season, and then they're going to play in the postseason as well. The odd thing is all three games will be played or have been played at Floyd Central. The opening game was supposed to be played at Floyd, and it was. The second game, the actual Hoosier Hills Conference meeting, was scheduled to be at Blair Field in Jeffersonville, but the stadium just wasn't exactly ready. The new improvements, basically new stadium that Jeffersonville High School has showcased recently. So the gap game was at Floyd Central. Now the blind draw in the tournament places the game at Floyd Central as well. So I don't know that we'll ever see this again, but a high school football teams locally meeting for three times in the same season, definitely kind of an interesting thing that you don't expect to see. In the second game of that 5A sectional, New Albany will play at Bedford North Lawrence. And that's interesting as well. While Jeff and Floyd have played three times, or will have played three times when that game happens, New Albany and Bedford, who are in the same conference and always play each other, didn't play and weren't scheduled this year. So New Albany and Bedford will play for the first time this season with all the marbles on the line in a sectional semifinal game. I mentioned the 4A pairings with Silver Creek taking on East Central. That's who the Dragons opened with last season to start sectional play. And East Central eliminated Silver Creek last year, who had a great season last year. But again, East Central, very good program. In 3A, Charlestown will get a rematch last year from their sectional game with Greensburg. They'll take on each other again in 3A sectional 31. Charlestown, which has had some struggles this year and hasn't been full strength the last couple weeks as there were some players that were out and had to quarantine. They will get an opportunity to finish the season in the next few weeks and see if they can add some wins to their total before getting ready for that game against Greensburg. Providence and Clarksville, they both compete in the 2A sectional 39. The favorite in that sectional is Triton Central. Providence will travel to Union County in the opening game. Union County currently sits at 500 at 3-3. And then the Clarksville will host Paoli, who is 4-3. At this juncture of the season. And by the way, Providence and Clarksville are on opposite sides of the bracket, so the only way to see a Town of Clarksville championship rematch in the postseason would be if the Pioneers and Generals could put great runs together and get to the championship game of sectional 39. In 1A, Rock Creek, they will take a trip to North Central in Farmersburg for their first round of a Class 1A sectional 48 game. Rock Creek 0-5. They only have one game left on the regular season schedule tonight. And North Central Farmersburg at this point also 0-5. So it could be a decent draw for Rock Creek, and perhaps they could get their first win of the season and their first postseason win ever when they travel to North Central in the sectional. Flipping back to tonight, I know I'm bouncing around here a little bit. Obviously, Brownstown and Silver Creek, we've told you how big of a game that is. Floyd Central on the road at Bedford. Highlanders, I think, much better than Bedford, but you're on the road. You never know exactly what to expect. Charlestown at Salem tonight. Cordon will travel to Clarksville and Jeffersonville at Jennings County. That's a Hoosier Hills game. Madison, who beat Jeffersonville last week, they are at New Albany tonight. And that's a look at the schedule for the eight football-playing schools in Clark and Floyd counties. We'll head to a commercial break as that wraps up our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. We'll come back with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, IU basketball, IU football. We'll talk a little Aminu Muhammad, who Archie Miller and staff are having a virtual meeting with today, and more in that segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, who's with us on Fridays as we talk IU basketball and football. And Dylan, I mentioned in our headlines today that it sounds like, according to stock risers, Archie Miller and staff have a big virtual meeting planned with Aminu Muhammad, who's a five-star 2021 prospect that's still available. Indiana, from what it seems, in this odd time for recruiting activities to take place and so many things can't take place, appears to be as involved with him as any other school recruiting him.
Yeah, I mean, he had obviously a really big target for them in the class of 2021. I would say, you know, right up there with Trey Kaufman, probably one of the biggest. I think the top three is probably Kaufman, Aminu Muhammad, and Blake Wesley from South Penn Riley. But yeah, you know, Aminu Muhammad, you know, they really want him, and you know, he could be a really good player for them. And it seems like, you know, they've talked to him a lot now. I know Bruiser Flynn was the main recruiter for him, so I think that'll be interesting. Obviously, with Kenya Hunter probably stepping in, trying to take over some roles. I'm sure Tom Ostrom has filled in a lot as well. But from what I've heard, you know, I think 2 weeks ago we talked about Avery Brown, and I talked to him, and I talked to his dad recently as well, and he kind of explained to me how with Indiana, with how they recruit somebody, is that, you know, it's not just the assistant that's always doing things. He says Archie Miller is always involved, always on the Zoom calls, you know, always kind of talking and texting with parents and players, and I'm assuming that's how he is with most guys too. So I'm assuming Archie Miller is very involved with Aminu Muhammad as well, and, you know, I think that's just a very effective way to go about it, you know. Especially at a school like Indiana, you know, a big school that, you know, you hopefully want attention from all their coaches and staff. So that'll be good. It's a big Zoom meeting. It should be interesting. I don't think Aminu Muhammad has set any dates for when he's going to cut anything down. I know that he has a guardian that's pretty, you know, pretty close to him and handles a lot of things. So it seems like, you know, they're sort of on the same page with what they do, and he gives an input on a lot of decisions. So it should be interesting for sure, but I think it's really big for Indiana that to continue, even though during this time, you know, when you can't really host anybody, that, you know, they're still keeping communicating, and, you know, they have a really good technology center here, so I'm sure they're able to show them, you know, a virtual tour that seems very realistic. I mean, Muhammad was here for the Maryland game last year, so, I mean, he's at least been to campus and seen it and been to a game, which I think is helpful. So, you know, as long as they just keep up communication with him and just keep talking, it should be a good sign for them going forward.
Dylan, a question for you that came in from a listener, Scott. He wanted to know, who is the main competition for Aminu Muhammad along with Indiana? I know he's heard from some other Big Ten schools, Big East schools, ACC schools. Who are you aware of as maybe the key competition Indiana's going against for his services?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it just seems like a lot of the same schools are sort of involved here. You know, he's from sort of the D.C. area. So, you know, in the Big Ten, you have Maryland. I think Turgeon and their staff are recruiting him pretty hard. And then, you know, there's also Georgetown as well, also from that area, that I think are on him pretty hard. But in terms of sort of the Midwest, it seems like Indiana and Louisville are always sort of involved in the same guys, of course, you know, two big-time schools. It seems like, you know, those are kind of Maryland, Georgetown, Indiana, Louisville are sort of the schools that have shown him the most interest over the last few months, at least from what I've seen. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess when you look at his I'm pretty sure last time I checked it, his, you know, his 247 Sports sort of like crystal ball. A lot of people have actually predicted Indiana, which I think is pretty cool. We've seen a lot of East Coast guys, choose. You have Indiana in their final few, and then we'll choose, Villanova or a different school. It doesn't seem like Villanova is really involved with them either, which is good because they've gotten a lot of guys Indiana wanted. But, it seems like it's Maryland and Georgetown, Louisville, and I think even Kansas State as well. It's pretty good competition, but I think Indiana is doing pretty well with him, which is a really good sign. And, if they can get a player of that caliber, a five-star of that kind of caliber to come in a year. And, they're still waiting for that second commit for that 2021 class alongside Logan Duncombe. So, if you could only imagine a class that features sort of Duncombe and a Muhammad and even a Trey Coffin. And if they were to get all these guys, Indiana fans would sure have something to be excited about for the future. And they already do with the guys that Archie Miller has already brought in.
Talking with Dylan Wall of Sports Illustrated Indiana. I want to reset the non-conference schedule, or at least what we know. There was a point where we pretty much had the non-conference schedule down as far as generally who Indiana would play and maybe when reasonably when it would be. But, of course, with everything changing and still being worked on behind the scenes, scheduling is just a nightmare, it sounds like, in college basketball right now. Normally things that are set months and sometimes even years in advance are being figured out still here in the middle of October. With that said, we know that Indiana's going to open at the Maui Invitational. That bracket came out earlier this week. We know Providence is the opening opponent for the Hoosiers in that tournament. We also know that Indiana will play a to-be-named ACC opponent in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. We assume that Indiana will play, I think it's Butler in the Crossroads Classic. But we found out earlier this week that the Gavitt Games, which is a Big Ten, Big East Challenge type deal, it's not going to happen this year, according to some reports. So there's some openings in the non-conference for Indiana, like there are for a lot of teams. But reset where we're at with this Indiana team as far as games that are on the slate, what we know, and what maybe could happen with some of these openings.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting is that, yesterday we talked to the women's basketball coach here, and they said the big, at least for the women's, they were looking to do 20 conference games. I would assume that the men's side is going to look at to do the same thing. So if you have 20 conference games, that leaves you with room for about five-ish, six-ish non-conference games, just because, they want you to have, if you're playing in a holiday tournament like Indiana is, that's at least three games there, and then you can have maybe few more non-conference games after that. And so as you mentioned, Providence, we know Providence for sure, and whether they win or lose that game, they'll play the winner and loser of Texas and Davidson. So, you have those teams for sure. At least one of those three, we know that we'll play them. And then on the other side of the bracket, just kind of whatever happens would be their third game. Those are three games there. Butler and the Crossroads, they haven't exactly told us if the Crossroads is going to happen, but I mean, it's almost guaranteed it will. I mean, four schools from the same exact state playing in one venue, I think it's very likely we'll make that happen. So you have Butler, an ACC opponent that hasn't been announced yet, and since the Gavitt Games is not going to happen this season, that opens up a spot for them. And, honestly, just with the way the non-conference is looking and how kind of short it's going to be before you jump into Big Ten play, I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana maybe tries to capitalize on this and tries to schedule maybe a mid to low major. I think, just to get playing and get some chemistry together, because usually a lot of those games happen in early November and that part of the schedule is kind of taken out from under them. And, now you only have maybe six or so non-conference games before you jump into a conference slate that we know the Big Ten is probably the toughest league to play in. So I would not be surprised if they capitalize on, not having to play a Big East team and schedule maybe a little bit of an easier game just to get, find a game that they can hopefully find a rhythm in. And, we mentioned that, with football, it's not, you don't have those non-conference games that, you usually try to fine-tune things, try new things. So, Indiana's going to jump right into the fire. I wouldn't be surprised if Providence, the Maui Invitational, is that first game for them, just because it's 5 days after, the season's supposed to start, and we haven't heard anything else of what their schedule will look like. So, they might start out jumping right into Providence and, one of Texas or Davidson, and then, from there you can see North Carolina, UNLV, Alabama, one of those schools. So it's going to be tough, and it is very hard, to schedule. Everything's changing. Schools are trying to host their own little, game bubble thing. So I can only imagine how tough it is. But, you know, we might have some answers starting next week. We have IU Basketball's Media Day coming up on Tuesday. So we'll talk to Archie Miller and all the players. And, you know, we might see some answers. We might find out some new things. So, you know, hopefully that's the case.
I'm glad you brought up both of those topics. The will Indiana go straight to the Maui to open the season and Media Day? That would be so opposite. And I guess that just kind of underscores where we're at right now with sports in a pandemic. But normally, you know, last year, what Indiana had like seven, I don't want to call them boring games, because you're glad they happen. You're glad basketball's here. You're glad to get to Assembly Hall to see a game, cover a game. But seven games against low major to mid major schools where basically Indiana is paying those schools to come be a warm-up game for them to get their feet under them for bigger non-conference games and for obviously Big Ten games later in the year, later in the month of December typically. Can you imagine a situation, which it very well could be, as you said, Indiana, the season opens November 25th and their first games come at the Maui Invitational against the likes of Providence and then either Texas or Davidson and then possibly North Carolina after that. I mean, it could just be total opposite from what typically happens in college basketball. No warm-up games, no mid-majors, low majors. You go right to the big time.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of a warm-up at all, at least for Indiana coming into this season. And it's also kind of really unfortunate for those, you know, low to mid-major schools, just because, you know, as you mentioned, they do get paid money, and it helps them out a lot when they can come in. And, you know, even though they'll most likely lose by double digits, you know, they still get a good amount of money from the D1 school, the top-tier schools, to come play, you know, which they don't have that this year. It'll be really tough financially, which is a really unfortunate thing that, you know, is happening in sports right now. But, yeah, you know, I mean, Archie Miller even talked about last season, toward the end of last season, he talked about sort of what their non-conference schedule is going to look like this season. And he even mentioned just how hard it is even back then, before you know, you got rid of any potential easy games. He mentioned how, you know, all the tough opponents they're probably going to see, you know, before Big Ten play. And I think it's something, you know, I don't think, I mean, it's sort of interesting, because last year, you know, how many games did they play before they really played anybody? It was about nine before they got Florida State. And you were kind of, and everyone was nervous, like, well, you haven't really played anyone before you go at Wisconsin. And then, you know, what happens when they play at Wisconsin. So, you know, I think it's a good test just to jump right into the fire. Because, I mean, you have a good amount of continuity coming back, which I think is really helpful. So I think it'd be really good for them, you know, jump right into the fire, try to make a statement, you know, show that you can be a top 25 team. And I think they're going to be excited for the challenge. And I think it'll be really exciting. I mean, Indiana fans, you know, as much as, you know, they'll take a win. You know, I think Indiana fans want to see them play kind of big-time schools as opposed to some other lower ones. So, you know, it's sort of a catch-22 there. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be exciting. But it's definitely going to be challenging. But that's just kind of how it's going to be this year. You're going to have to adapt and be ready to play every day.
Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana is my guest. You mentioned Media Day next week, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Tuesday afternoon next week, it won't be normal. We won't be in Assembly Hall in the media room, but we'll get the opportunity via Zoom to hear from Archie Miller and then hear from a number of players as well. And that will produce lots of content for you at the Sports Illustrated Indiana site. Obviously, we'll play back some of the audio from Archie and players, and it'll bring up a lot of discussion points that maybe we don't have right this moment. But even the media day is going to be different this year, and I think that will kind of kickstart things. It always does for storylines for the upcoming season.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of gets you into the mode, you know, when you reach that media day, you know, you sort of can get really excited about the season, because, you know, you talk to everybody and, you know, official practice starts and, you know, it seems like it's full go, ready to go for the season. You know, we only, ever since the tournament was canceled in March, you know, we only talked to Arch Miller once as a collective media group. So, you know, we haven't really interacted with them a whole lot. And, you know, it's definitely going to be fun. It's going to be weird, because I remember last year, you know, you're in there, you're in the media room in Assembly Hall from, you know, 11 to 3, just talking to everybody, all coaches, all players, and it's just really fun to be able to talk to them. So, yeah, with Zoom, it'll be interesting. You know, they'll bring players in on Zoom in groups of about two or three, so we should be talking to the whole roster. So, you know, I always like talking to the freshmen, you know, we got Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, Jordan Geronimo, Christian Lander, just to see, you know, how
how they're doing and how they've adapted to sort of how things are. You know, it's always a fun time to be able to talk to everybody because obviously once the season gets going, you know, you only talk to Archie and then maybe a few players depending on how they play. So this is a good opportunity to kind of hear from everybody on the roster. And you're right, you know, storylines can get rolling and you know, we can feel like basketball season is right around the corner, which it is, you know, we're almost to a month to right till tip off. So, you know, it's going to be exciting and I'm definitely excited for it.
Absolutely. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. You can read his coverage at si.com/college/Indiana. Again, si.com/college/Indiana. Dylan, as always, thanks for the great information. We always look forward to our Friday conversations, and we'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with our final segment of the week. Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins in the next segment. We'll talk high school football tonight, tournament pairings that came out last night for the upcoming high school state tournament, and some basketball stuff and more. And don't forget tonight on the Big X, starting at 6 o'clock, we've got the kickoff show. If you missed our tournament pairing special last night, you can catch it in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. Our feature games that will rotate back and forth between tonight here on the Big X. It's Silver Creek hosting Brownstown in what really is a Mid-Southern Conference championship game, and Floyd Central on the road tonight at Bedford North Lawrence. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for our final segment, Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins on Fridays. And Kyle, we now know the pairings for the upcoming high school football state tournament. Normally, they come out on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. This year, it was new on a Thursday evening. And I'm curious, as you look not just at Southern Indiana, but across the entire state, some of the best sectionals, or maybe it's some of the best matchups in the opening round. What are things you're excited about, most excited about the upcoming football state tournament?
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have it over, and we still have some at least a day left of the week now. So I kind of like the change, actually, looking at it. But, yeah, I'd say, you know, from our area up here, you know, you're always curious how 6A, the 6A sectional comes out. And, you know, this year probably most interesting up here is in the sectional 5 with Carmel and Brownsburg in the same sectional. And they will not play the first game, but it would be the championship game. That's probably the best sectional here as far as balance goes, as far as teams that can upset one another. Avon and Pike are also in that sectional. They're dangerous teams as well this year. But I think Brownsburg-Carmel is probably the best, you know, potential sectional matchup. The sectionals are fairly well balanced this year, you know, probably more than other years have been as far as north-south goes. And the south is still the more dominant group. I actually wrote about this. You know, I still hope at some point, you know, in I think 6A and 5A football, you know, people complain about seeding a lot for basketball. I don't see that as absolutely necessary in basketball. But I think 5A and 6A football, you've already got, you know, 32 teams anyway. I think you could seed the North and South 1 through 16. It wouldn't be that big a deal. There's been talk about, you know, the IFCA has talked about stuff, something along those lines before. You know, I think there's still I think it would make it create a more interesting bracket down the road, but you know, and some more interesting matchups really that maybe we wouldn't see otherwise. But you know, I think, you know, pretty much I think that you know, in 6A, Center Grove is clearly the favorite there. They should have no problem in their sectional. You know, 5A, I think Cathedral is a slam dunk pick. You know, they have Decatur Central in their sectional, which is a good team, but I think they're also a very clear favorite. And kind of the fun part of that is that those teams will play each other next week in the final game of the regular season. So we kind of get to see who's, you know, who the best team in the state, you know, out of those two teams. I think they're, you know, probably have a good claim to that. So they'll go head to head and play each other next week and we can find out. But I didn't see, you know, I think this year was maybe less interesting because you didn't have that complete heavyweight matchup coming into the sectional with the possible exception of Brownsburg and Carmel. But, you know, and Carmel is defending state champ, but probably not as good as they were last year. Brownsburg hasn't won a sectional in 11 years now, and this is a team that could definitely do it and make a pretty good run in the tournament if they can get through that sectional. So I thought that was, you know, maybe the most interesting thing. But yeah, now that we got the path set, it'll be fun to see, you know, how it shakes out when we get started here in a couple of weeks and, you know, get down to it.
And, Kyle, you mentioned seeding maybe in 5 and 6A sectionals in the football side of things is needed. I look at the 4A sectional that involves some of our local teams, namely Silver Creek, really between Silver Creek and their opening opponent, East Central, and then Mooresville, who also is on their side of the bracket, which could be a potential second-round game for Creekers if they can win that opening game. That's really three top 10 4A football teams pushed together on the same side of the bracket. And I think if you were sitting down with knowledge of who those teams, coaches, and players were, you would probably set up that bracket differently if you were shooting for some really great games as the sectional tournament moves on. Instead, some of those games are going to come awful early.
Yeah, that I agree. That one, too. That one stuck out to me as well. Silver Creek is, having a great season, obviously, and they get stuck with East Central, the traditional power in that part of the state over in eastern Indiana. So that's a tough matchup right off the bat. And then, you know, if you win that, then you get Mooresville, who's been ranked highly. I actually saw them play last week. They're a very, very good 4A team that has a chance to go a long way. But, it never completely makes sense to me why you don't see the sectional. I know there's a tradition of not doing it, but, especially in football, it's not like you're traveling multiple times throughout the week, like you would be for basketball, which I sort of get, you know, it'd be harder, travel wise, I would think, but football, it's only a one time, you know, once a week game. And, you know, I don't know beyond, lower than 5A. I don't know, I think, the tournament's different anyway for 5A and 6A. There's a lesser number of schools, so I think it's doable. I've written a lot of times about it. I know the IHSA doesn't have much interest in doing any seeding, and I think that's been pretty clear. But I hope the IFCA doesn't give up the fight of trying to, you know, seed the tournament at some level. It just makes too much sense to me. Like I said, especially for 5A and 6A, I think you could do it and make it a better tournament, to be honest. I think you get better games at the end of the tournament, which to me is the reason for putting on a tournament is to have your best teams playing each other at the end of it. So, that's a really tough draw. It couldn't have gotten any worse for Silver Creek, but I guess you got to play them at some point.
Yeah, Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, joins us on Fridays. Kyle, we've talked a lot about how sports have been affected by the current pandemic, and I've also already been talking with you on and off air about what could the upcoming high school basketball season look like. And I know locally schools are talking about capacities. New Albany sent a letter with some information to season ticket holders that went out earlier this week. And I saw yesterday that at the Division II level, the former conference that Bellarmine participated in, and of course Indianapolis as well, the GLVC, Great Lakes Valley Conference, they've announced already no fans for the upcoming men's and women's basketball seasons. And I think we'll probably see that announcement made other places as well. But, boy, that's a tough pill to swallow. No fans for an entire season to a great Division II basketball conference. I wonder if that's not a sign of things to come.
Yeah, I don't. I saw that too, Matt. I think that's interesting. I have a hard time believing we won't have any fans at high school games. I don't think that is likely at this point, but it could be a case by case basis. And I think that's kind of what the IHSA has said all along with football for sure and other fall sports. But I think it'll be local health departments deciding. And I talked to an athletic director last Friday who. Or last week, I guess it was probably earlier this week, actually, but they were talking about how, they are allowed to have more fans now at football games. And you know, he hasn't even sold his allotment of tickets, just out of concern that, you know, people won't do the right thing necessarily. And he wants to limit, you know, as much as he can. You know, you want to get fans in the door, obviously, but you also want to try to, you know, make sure people are safe. And the bottom line is, we're coming up to, you know, as it talks about football, you know, you're coming up to a point now where if you get quarantined, you're probably going to end up having to, you know, postpone but you're just going to forfeit your sectional game. So that's a reality that's probably going to hit us here. And I'm sure it will. I mean, some team or multiple teams are probably going to have that happen to them, unfortunately. And there's not much, you know, if you're hoping to continue the tournament on and finish it Thanksgiving weekend, which they're kind of locked into, you know, you're not going to be able to push the tournament back. You know, so that's going to be a harsh reality for somebody. Shoot, you could even have a state championship game where that happens and somebody has to cancel. So that'd be terrible. But for basketball, you know, I think, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, just the concern of having people, you know, you don't want to have 1,000, you know, whatever your capacity is. You don't want to be anywhere close to it, I don't think, for basketball, people screaming and yelling, you know, in close proximity. I mean, that's how the virus is transmitted. And you know, it's not something, you know, that seems feasible at this point to have any kind of season that's going to remotely look like any season we've had before. But you know, I think it will be similar to football. I think you'll have fans spread out, you know, whatever the capacity is allowed to be. I think it will be, you know, obviously a lot lesser. It may start out, you know, kind of a slow rollout. Maybe, you know, I think some schools have only had parents allowed, or, you know, have started the season with no fans at all and kind of geared up to have parents allowed. So, you know, that may be something. And volleyball, obviously, they don't have the crowds that a lot of the top level, you know, basketball games do. So you can do that more easily. So, but it'll be interesting. It won't be, you know, like we hope it can be. But I do think, you know, from what I've heard from people and talked to athletic directors and coaches, I think there'll be some amount of fans allowed, but I think it'll be a school by school decision and a local health department decision on what your overall number is going to be.
For sure. Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, as always, thanks for the chat. Enjoy high school football tonight. We'll catch up next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Back with you Monday through Friday next week, live at 11 a.m. You can always catch the podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, high school football coming your way tonight. We've got two big feature games, Silver Creek hosting Brownstown in a Mid-Southern Conference championship game, and also Floyd Central, the Highlanders, on the road tonight at Bedford North Lawrence. Our high school football coverage begins at 6 p.m. Until tonight, until next week, this is Matt Dennison. Have a great weekend. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.